You know, considering how universal an experience parenthood is, it's astonishing how few birth scenes there are in novels. I mean, think about it. How many famous female characters can you name who go through labor and delivery? Novelist Rachel Paston told Steve Paulson that's one reason she began her new novel with a childbirth scene. The book is called Lady of the Snakes. Its protagonist is Jane Levitsky, a young professor of 19th century Russian literature, whom we first encounter giving birth.
During Jane's miserable 20-hour labor, she thought a lot about Masha Karkova, who had died in childbirth in 1884, along with the baby she was carrying. Jane's pain was in her back, and she crouched moaning on the rug in their tiny living room, waiting for Billy to come and get her. And later she screamed, staggering up and down the hospital room with its pastel prints and floral curtains, like a decent hotel, only with cupboards that opened to reveal sterile pads and stainless steel. Dying seemed a likely outcome, much likelier than producing a child. As she cried Billy's name, she wondered if Masha had cried out for Grigori, and if so, what he had done. Not pressed a tennis ball into the small of her back the way Billy was doing, the way they'd been taught in childbirth class. Not that it helped.
By the end of the scene, the baby is born, but Jane, the mother, is feeling so battered, so out of it, that she finds herself again thinking about a childbirth scene in a 19th century Russian novel she's been studying, and she suddenly realizes she's missed the first moments of her own child's life. And it's a wonderful opening passage because it really sets up the tension that runs throughout this novel, how Jane struggles to be both a mother and a literary scholar. What made you take on this subject?
When I had my first child and had decided that I was going to try to keep working on my writing and also spend a fair amount of time doing the mom thing, being with her, I knew it would be hard. I knew it would be challenging, but I did not realize how hard it was going to be. I was shocked by how hard it was to figure out what I wanted to do, to spend long days with an infant, to try to find any time for my own work, to not feel guilty about wanting time for my own work. And I did what I always do, which is I looked around for books, for novels that would reflect my life experience back to me and say, yes, somebody else has experienced this and this is what it's like. And I didn't find any.
That's so interesting because I tend to think of there being so much that's been written about this basic dilemma. I mean, sort of the so-called mommy wars, you know, women trying to reconcile family with work. But you're saying 12 years ago or so, there weren't many things written about this?
14 years ago. Yeah, that's right. In the mid-90s, I think a lot of it hadn't got down on paper yet. People were maybe talking about it. Maybe people were writing about it in the newspaper, but not the complex texture of a novel. And when I showed early drafts of this novel to women, mother, friends of mine, they said, why would you want to read something that, you know, you already experienced and got through and now it's behind you?
Tell me something about that, about sort of some of the fine points of what you were trying to get across in that whole experience.
I think one of the things that's really hard is closing the door on one self and opening it to the other self. So when you're at work, being at work, and when you're with your family, being with your family. I found that an immense challenge for years. I mean, I was working in the house too, so I didn't have like a commute or even a walk to get me from one place to the other. It was like the baby was downstairs with the babysitter and then the door opened and then there was the baby. And it was hard to be like, okay, that door is closed. Now I'm this version of myself. And that interested me. I think also just what it is like to spend whole days with people who don't speak back to you, for somebody who's very verbal, is a particular kind of challenge.
Did you feel like there were times when you were just kind of losing your mind? I mean, spending so much time with a baby or a very young child?
Yeah, I definitely felt that I was losing my mind. Although both my daughters were much desired and longed for, and I was happier in a basic way once they were born than before they were born. But the hours were often very difficult to get through. And I have had and have a wonderful, terrific, active husband, father to the kids. But even though I think we both thought going in we were doing things 50-50, I think 50-50 turns out to be a lot harder, even for people with very good intentions, than they suspect. You know, 50-50 goes to 70-30 and sort of squinches back and forth.
Well, in your novel, the marriage between Jane and her husband, Billy, nearly falls apart as they're trying to deal with all of this. I mean, the stress of parenting, her new academic job, he's in law school, just starting out. And at one point, Jane is away out of town, and she's doing research. Their girl gets sick, and Billy is left to deal with the whole ordeal in the hospital. And when Jane gets back, she's feeling guilty. Billy is resentful. And you have a scene that gets at some of this tension. Could you read that?
Yeah. That night, after putting Maisie to bed, Jane went downstairs where Billy was watching the Bulls game. She sat beside him on the old brown sofa. "What's the score?" she asked. "Bulls up by 2. "Close game." Billy said nothing. The light from the television flickered across his face, so she could see only intermittently how tense and unhappy he looked. "Want a beer?" Jane asked. Billy glanced over at her, surprised. "Okay," he said, "sure." Jane got up, went into the kitchen, came back with an open beer. She handed it to Billy. "Thanks," Billy said. "You're welcome." "You're not having one?" "No." Jane pulled her legs up under her, turned her face to the television. There was a pause. Jane tried to follow the game. Then Billy said, "Since when are you that kind of wife?" Jane looked at him. He looked like someone she used to know a long time ago. "What kind of wife?" she asked. "The kind who gets up to get her husband a beer." "I'm the same kind of wife I've always been," she said. "What kind do you want?" The game went to commercial. Billy shook his head. "No," he said, "you're different." "How exactly?" Jane asked. She was curious. Billy shrugged stiffly. "I think you used to be happier before," he said. "Before," Jane thought. "Before what? Before Maisie was born? Before they were married? Before they moved to Madison and she had a job and he didn't?"
Oh, that's so wonderful. I mean, sort of how you captured the coldness that has crept into their marriage and how they're really not able to talk about it.
Yeah, and I think it's a really hard thing to talk about. And I feel bad for them because I keep thinking, if you just hold on, you know, you'll get through it. It will be better next year, you know, it'll be better the year after that. But in the middle of it, it's hard to see that. It's hard to know that.
Now, there's another plot strand in your novel by way of contrast, the story of a 19th century woman, Masha Karkova, the wife of the Russian novelist that Jane is studying. This is a woman who had none of the opportunities that modern women like Jane have. I'm wondering if you based this story on the real lives of 19th century women you have read about.
Well, I did start out by reading about Tolstoy and his wife, Sophie Tolstoy. So they were kind of where I started. And I guess the thing about Sophie Tolstoy that always strikes me, besides the fact that she had, I think, 13 children and 7 or 8 miscarriages, and that her husband insisted that she give birth to them on this uncomfortable red leather couch that had been in his family that he felt all of his children should be born on, was that she would copy out his manuscripts at night when he was done working on them so that he would have fresh copies to look at in the morning. And I do have Masha do that for Grigori in my book. I write longhand, and I would so love to have somebody type that stuff into the computer every night so I could have nice fresh copy in the morning. So the fact that after working all day and supervising the education of the children and sewing the clothes, and it's true that she had servants, but giving orders to the servants and supervising them and dealing with a million comings and goings, that after dinner, when everybody else was done doing stuff, she would then sit down to make these fair copies, really, I think, is remarkable.
You'd like to have a wife, too.
Yeah. Or at least better voice recognition software.
Right. Yes. A lot of women talk about how their lives play out in stages. There's often sort of the early career burst. And then there's maybe the intense motherhood stage where career becomes secondary. And then there's the reemergence of the career when the kids get a bit older. Has it played out for you that way?
I don't think my kids are quite yet at the bit older stage. I guess they're a bit older. I have a child going to high school and one going into middle school. And I think oh my God, they're going to be gone any moment, you know? So how much time I'll have to work when they're gone, and what will I do without them when they're gone? And so it's sort of the same as it was all the way through, wanting everything from both sides.
Mm-hmm. And I guess that's the other side of it too. I mean, we're talking about all of this as if parenting is just something that you have to endure to get through so that you can free yourself to write. But of course, that's only part of the equation here.
Yes, because, well, for me, certainly life was sad and empty without those children in it, making a mess and not giving me any time to do anything and wanting a million things. So for me, better this way than the other way. And I guess I do feel like I wanted this to be ultimately an optimistic book and say, we need to keep trying to make it possible to have lives as full as possible, both for women and for men, and to have our families be our anchors that we can go out from. When I was trying to think what should happen to Jane in the end, I thought what I really want her to do is to keep trying to get it right and to make it work for her, make this life work for her.
Rachel Paston, talking with Steve Paulson about her novel, Lady of the Snakes.